Welcome in Line of Logic. I'm your host, Mike Alexander. You are listening to The Sweet Spot. Joining me, Alex Remizowski. How are we doing this week, Alex?
I'm very good. The usual, trying to get over last week and move on here. And it was a decent week, but I'm looking for a good week, as I always say. And we're gonna jump right into this one, and it's a fun one. I like the WGC events. They're always pretty interesting to look at.
Yeah, you get an interesting field. We were saying before we jumped on, you know, I think we both had the same sentiment. Just built too many lineups, had good plays, but spread out over more lineups than I should have been building, I think, and kind of diluted the winnings. So that's definitely not a mistake you want to make this week with a no-cut event. Everybody's going to play four rounds. Cash. It's pretty hard to win in these kind of events. You're kind of up against a crapshoot versus just trying to go 6 for 6. So, you know, my focus this week is going to be just trying to stay with, you know, maybe one or two lineups and, you know, stay pretty tight and kind of play light. I'm not looking to go crazy here on a week where so much can change on Sunday. But yeah, so why don't you jump in with a little course preview? We're down in Mexico this week.
Yes, sir. So we've seen this course twice before. Only two times is the WGC Mexico. So for anyone that doesn't know, it's the World Golf Championships limited field. It's in the 80s, I believe 84 normally, give or take a few. No cut, four rounds in Mexico. You're going to see some guys drinking the water and getting upset tummies. And yeah, we've touched on all this before.
This is the event last year where we were all over Hatton. And then the day before he, you know, tweeted out that he's got the shits and it's like, uh-oh, panic, getting a withdrawal. You know, everybody dumped him. And then he goes out and has a great tournament.
It was so brutal to watch. I remember he was tweeting after every single round, like played well today, just like couldn't roll in the putts, or like need my irons to be a little better. And I was like, god damn it, like, you weren't even supposed to be playing,
right?
I was fully off of him. Yep. And we were like you said, heavy.
Yeah,
into
I went
him.
Full
but yeah
pivot.
Yeah, I mean, it's something to think about, but hopefully, you know, you would think people would learn after a while. So we'll see. But a little more on the course. It's seems long from the numbers, 7,345 yards, par 71. You got a bunch of par fours that are pretty long and a couple very short ones. If you've read around at all, you've heard about the altitude. It's over 7,300 feet above sea level. I think that's actually at its lowest point. No, that's Mexico's City. Yeah, so they're at 7,600 feet above sea level.
Yeah,
it's very high.
It puts
elevation.
Denver to shame. Like, Denver, you know, feels like you're sitting on the beach.
Right. And I specifically remember flying across the country from New York to Colorado and immediately feeling that. So, you know, it's also something to think about, someone who hasn't been out there before. I don't know. But really, I think what you're going to have to think about is the ball is going to fly. So I read somewhere, it was somewhere on Twitter, I came across it, that it was pretty much 10%, 8 to 10%, I think is what I saw. So, I mean, you're chopping a good chunk off that 7,300.
And yeah, you've got the Coors effect, basically, you know, times 1.5.
Yeah. So, I mean, some of these shorter par fours, you're going to see people definitely having shots to drive them. It's definitely a risk reward course. And something that I've actually found pretty interesting is that people seem to think that this is like a purely strokes gained off the tee, hit it a long way, fly over the trees, make the course short for yourself kind of course. But upon kind of digging into these numbers, I don't think you can really put your finger on any one stat like that. I think that can work for you if you're bombing the ball over everything into like 50 yards. You see a 50 yards into every par four. That's going to work if you can put it close and convert on some birdies. But I dug very deep into the pretty much the top 15 guys of the past 2 years, which are the 2 years we have to go off on this course. And like, for instance, last year, you have Justin Thomas, who gained a stroke and a half off the tee and then lost strokes approach and finished at the end of the day the same as Phil Mickelson. They were in a playoff and Mickelson came out on top, but Mickelson gained under a half of a stroke off the tee, just over a half a stroke approach, and then made up a lot of ground on the greens. So, and then you see guys in the top five that gained over two strokes putting, but lost strokes off the tee. I mean, it's literally everywhere. So I tried to compare the two, and it really looks like I think off the tee does come out above average. Greens and regulation, as always, big. But I really kind of want to look at fairways too, because you look at pictures of this course, or if you've watched the past 2 years, it's pretty
The trees
tight.
are scary.
Yeah, and you see like Phil Mickelson doing these like crazy like punch out hooks that roll up onto the green and stuff like that. He's still under trees. Like you can't just hit the ball anywhere here.
Yeah, that definitely came across in my research. And then just my two cents on the altitude. Like people think it's a good thing and big hitters can hit further, but the challenge is your distances aren't dialed in. You know, these guys are so used to knowing, you know, I can hit my 8 iron at 80% and it's going to go X amount of yards. And, you know, now they've got to factor in elevation and get it dialed in. So, you know, the guys that are there doing work on the range might have a little bit of an advantage.
Yes, I'm guaranteeing you Bryson and his caddy have like a binder full of notes.
Right, well, let's start off with Bryson. We'll, you know, we'll get into the tens with Bryson because everybody's like, "Oh, Bryson's the scientist. This is like, you know, such a good spot for him." I kind of feel the opposite because he's such a creature of habit and he's so methodical.
Gonna
Now you're just
screw
going to
with his
throw him
head.
this curveball, like, oh, you know, those calculations you're doing with, you know, wind speed and all the stuff we've seen him do, like now he's got to add elevation as well. Maybe it goes great, but it could also just completely turn sideways for him.
Yeah, it's very true. Like that video I shared on Twitter a while back of him, like you said, it was like the rough, the wind speed, the slope. It was like a 15-second discussion with his caddy, which is not a long time, as we mentioned. It was surprisingly quick for what they covered in that conversation. But you're right, you're adding a whole nother aspect there. It could work either way for him, so I guess you make the decision.
But I mean, he's playing great at the moment. We haven't really seen him stateside that much. You know, he was T15 at Riviera, so you know he's right there. But there's definitely other names I'm more interested in at the top. That being Dustin Johnson, really. I mean, he's like number one in everything for me. Like, you know, recent form, the course, correlated courses, putting. You know, so it, like just ones across the board for DJ, and he's the second most expensive golfer at 11.5. But you can pull it off this week with the no cut event. What do you feel about DJ?
DJ has been like, I've been on him more than I normally am. Normally, I'm like a fade the top guy kind of player on a week-to-week basis, just really focusing on getting as much talent into a six-person lineup as I can. But I have been taking the go with DJ. There's enough value down low, which there has been. in the last 2 weeks, he's pretty much come up short of being any value to you at all from where he was priced.
Yeah.
So it's been like killing me, but that just, I mean, it might be my twisted brain, but I think that's telling me that I have to agree and keep with it here because he's got to show up eventually. One of these days, he's going to be there. He's going to do it, and you don't want to, you know, take that week off.
Yeah, and, you know, it's I think a lot of people are in that same boat. Like, they feel like they've been fading DJ somewhat effectively. You know, he hasn't killed you, but he's not winning you events right now. So they may just want to keep rolling that dice. And, you know, he loves big money events. It's a WGC event. He's usually good at the WGC stuff. So he's my top play. Anybody else in this top range you want to mention?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple guys I think that people are going to be more attracted to. So that actually does make me like DJ a little better. But, I mean, Justin Thomas, you just have to consider him every single week. And this isn't necessarily like the exact course I would think to consider him on, but his course history proves otherwise, says otherwise. So, I mean, you have to consider it, but 11-8, I would gladly look by him in a no-cut event, like get a little creative. And number one for me jumping down is going to be John Rahm, another guy who seems to almost disappoint, but if you look where he's finished his last four outings, it's no worse than T10. It's like he quietly does it.
Right.
It's kind of like a backdoor thing.
You paid for a T3 and you didn't get it, so you're like, ah, oh, a guy let me down. But, you know, the on their face, the numbers are great.
Yeah, yeah. He's played there twice. He's had two decent outings there. He's in form, and he has been for months now. And I think that's a very good price for him. And then pretty much the two below that left in the tens are Ricky and Bryson. We talked about Bryson. I'll definitely have a piece of him because I just think he's playing that good. And I think he's got that mindset now that he's one of the best and he probably wants to win in fields like this as much as he possibly can. And then Ricky, we all know I play him every single week, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah, this isn't quite the field I love Ricky in, but his, you know, he always stats out well. And, you know, he's so well-rounded.
It's whether he puts it all together or not, and it's hard to say.
He get a win on the West Coast swing, so that helps. You know, that's got some confidence for him.
Yeah, and I do like, I don't know if we mentioned this yet, but kind of looking at this West Coast swing, like the grass is similar, the guys are warmed up, the greens are similar, they got the weird rough that I hate saying.
Kikuya,
I make you say that for me. And I watched a lot of golf the past couple weekends, and I know they said that a ton.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's strange. It's weird. You've seen guys flubbing chips and stuff. And I think if you know how to work your way around it, you know it. And so some recent form is not a bad thing to look at, I think. And I like Ricky probably more than I normally do. I mean, he's coming off a win. We'll see. I don't know. But John Rahm is probably where I'm going to start a lot of lineups. And I'll definitely have some Dustin Johnson, too.
All right. Then a fairly small section here for the nines. You only got five guys. A lot of people are fading Brooks. He's not playing well right now. I don't blame him for that. You got Tiger and Phil, and then Xander and Hideki to round it out. Which of those guys are you playing, if any?
I can't not play Phil. I just feel like he's got he's looking for something here. He's got 44 wins, or 45 now. Yeah, so Pebble was his 45th win. He said 1 year ago, this tournament, when he won, when nobody thought he was going to win again, he is going to get 50. And he likes the course. He was in form. He's got the short game you need here. He's got the scrambling. No matter where he hits off the tee, there's a good probability that he'll get a par. So if he hits fairways, I mean, it's game over.
Yeah, and you know, with Phil, it's either he's either winning the thing or just total meltdown. but you know, he's got the game to stand up here. I think his ownership, from what I'm hearing, isn't going to be high, which doesn't really make sense to me. He's got a win already. He won here last year. Like, I would think he'd be higher, especially with not that high of a price tag. But
I think this is a fantastic price for someone who is coming off of a recent win and another good start and won here last year. It kind of surprises me.
I mean, I played him in the desert where he gave us the miscut, so I'm still not sure I'm ready to get back on board with Phil, especially if I'm building less lineups. But maybe I'll build a little bit of a crazy lineup with like Rory and Phil, a crash or burn style.
It's so hard to not let like very recent things like that get in your head, but
and you have to.
We're all learning.
And, you know, a quick shout out for ownership percentages. Matt Jones on Twitter does a really good job. It'll be pretty close to lock, but he's got a nice little algorithm he puts together. He puts it out for free. So if you're trying to get some ownership percentages, check him out. His Twitter is at Matt Jones TFR. So keep an eye on him. Good Twitter follow for golf stuff. But Tiger, I never know whether to play Tiger or not. The thing about Tiger this week, though, is it's a course you don't need the driver at, and that's what he struggled with the last year. The irons have been better for him, and if he heats up putting, it could be a nice spot for Tiger.
Yeah, I mean, I can't help but think that we're due for a little bit of a Tiger week. He was heating up on the weekend last weekend. And
at least get in the hunt, you know?
Yeah. I don't see him like quietly sliding through this event without really being noticed again. He just barely got his way through into the weekend last weekend and then got people hyped up immediately with like six straight birdies or whatever and kind of faded away from there, but I'm sure he's not happy about that. Probably got one thing on his mind, and that's making a run for it this week.
Yeah, and then really quick mention on Xander Schauffele. He's done no worse than the 25th. He's got a win at the Tournament of Champions, 15th last week. So keep an eye on Xander. He could be in a nice spot here, and he likes the bigger events.
I 100% agree. Oh, wait, I'm on him permanently. He's like my new Ricky.
Yep. That's a good analogy. The new Ricky
like probably that. Coming with lower ownership on a regular basis.
Yeah, we'll see. He could be high here because I think a lot of people are interested. But all right, breaking into the eights, Tony Finau. I like Finau here, and he hasn't been great on the West Coast here, but he's starting to wake up a little bit. T15 last week, stats out well. What do you think about old Tony Finau?
Yeah, I definitely like it. He's got the big stick, and I mean, he's really got everything else to complement it too. He's coming in top 10 for me with my early numbers here in front of me, and like honestly, he's just a consistent player, and I think everyone is just waiting for him to win.
Yep.
And that's another thing let's gotta happen soon, and
definitely
very soon, and maybe I can wait till the Masters where I'll definitely like put $25 on him because I'd love to see him win the Masters, and it makes sense, and he likes Augusta, and he almost broke his ankle last year and still almost took the thing home. But yeah, I mean, definitely an 8900 is a fantastic price for considering everything around him.
Yeah. And then you got Spieth, which, you know, I wouldn't even consider Spieth, but we're on Poana Greens, and, you know, he's usually been really good on Poana Greens. So, you know, we got to mention him.
I mean, you have to mention him just because I think just the story, everything that was going on with Jordan Spieth last week, it was like so hyped up in like his Sunday. I mean, he shot 81 on Sunday. Yes, it was absolutely horrendous.
Yeah.
But it boiled down to like, I mean, it was basically his back nine, but it was like a quad and maybe a couple of real bad holes. But I have seen the guy miss so many 3, 4, and 5 footers in the past month that it's just, it's like wild. Like,
yep.
How many times I've seen it cut over to Jordan Spieth and him missing it. It looks like it doesn't even faze him, and then he just taps it in. It's like on to the next hole. Like, shit, I missed another three-footer.
Yeah, I don't know if you caught the little video where, you know, it was like a three-footer, and it didn't even touch the cup, and he, you know, points at the green, like, trying to say, yeah, that imperfection is why I missed by an inch and a half. I'm sorry, Jordan.
There was a bump on the green. A leaf landed in front of my... No, that was 3 feet.
That's not
but those
that
greens
works.
Were screwing with people. Like watching JB Holmes, I was firmly right in on JB Holmes on that Sunday, and watching him knock a four-footer like 8 feet by the hole and then missing that was painful too. The greens were throwing people for a loop, especially on the weekend. But I don't know if I can trust Jordan Spieth right now. And I don't. The thing is, I don't know if anyone's going to trust him, which makes you want to trust him. It's the never-ending Jordan Spieth conversation.
Yeah. All right, what about anybody else in the eights that you want to have a look at?
Definitely a few guys here. Mark Leishman, someone I just – he's one of those guys I look past just very easily, and I am starting to regret doing that because he's – pretty consistently keeping himself in it, and he's got kind of like the distance, the ball flight, the irons, kind of everything that would make sense here. So yep, I'm taking a look at him. And beyond that, I mean, I'm gonna jump down to Tommy Fleetwood for purposes of going with who I like the most here. I feel like I got to stay on him too. Another guy, he's got the course history. He's got the big stick. He's got it on the greens. Another like just formula for pretty much success here, but I am very sick of him like just pretty much being not enough for what I wanted him to do. And
that combined with he's probably going to be super chalky. He's only 8,200. That's,
I know the price is absurd. I could see him being like 40% owned, like without in some of these like smaller GPPs or whatever. I could honestly see people, and that might be enough to maybe look elsewhere.
Yep. And then we talked a little pre-show. This could be the first time I'm willing to play Bubba Watson. Probably single-digit ownership. Stats out pretty well for the course. And then, he hasn't really been kind to people this year, but he does have the fourth finish and then a T15. So I don't hate him, and he can putt. He can putt when he's on. So on tough point of greens, I think he could do worse than Bubba at 8,400.
Yeah, I mean, our conversation definitely opened my eyes to that a little bit. I think it's...
He'll be in the lineup with Phil. Rory, Phil, Bubba. We got the Crash and Burns.
There you go. Yeah, like the crazy wild card lefties, those two. And then add in a couple other crazy wild cards. Throw Spieth in there, why not?
I don't know if I'm going to throw Spieth in the lineup, to be honest.
Yeah, but I mean, I agree. Bubba, I think he's going to go super overlooked. I think people are either neutral on him or down on him, even though he doesn't deserve that at all. And, I think he could surprise you.
Yeah. All right. So then we're going to hit the sevens here. And the first question you have to answer in the sevens is, are you going to use Tyrrell Hatton or Henrik Stenson? 7,300 for Hatton, 7,200 for Stenson. Just really great prices, names that people know. Hatton's been really good here in the 2 years that they've played. A big part of that is that he hasn't had a single three putt, which, you know, will definitely keep your scores in check. He's probably in the around 15%. Stenson maybe a hair below it. He hasn't been great lately, but I think he could do well at this course. So are you using one of those guys, either of those guys?
I mean, Stenson, especially anywhere in the sevens, which is pretty rare, is normally like a staple in my, I would say, cash game lineups, but really just like the cash portion of who I like But these past three starts in Europe are very unlike him. They're not good at all. He hasn't made a cut his last three starts all this year. But then he pretty much has taken, I think, 3 weeks off. He's going to Mexico. I don't know. The guy, I mean, it's very confusing to me, but I could see, like, I could see a situation where I'm, like, fully off him, pretend he's not even there, and then he ends up, like, top 10, and I want to kick myself for that. So I'm going to kind of monitor that situation, make sure he's, like, there.
Yeah.
First of all, make sure he's, like, he's, like, actually a big, like, promoter on social media, so he'll probably be throwing something up there, promoting whatever it is he promotes, acting like it's something he's there, like him and Phil, like, hey, I'm here on Facebook, just wanted to show you guys that yeah, Phil, I love my Callaway irons.
Phil's something on the Facebook there.
It's too funny. He's a funny follow, but it's not the real Phil.
Yeah,
we all know it. But anyway, you know, Stenson is someone I want to play so bad, but there are definitely some very, very serious concerns. And then Hatton, I love just like regularly. I might just like him as a person on his social media. And I think he's like really got the talent, but he's played well here too. He's been here before, which puts him a leg up over a lot of these 7,000 players here. So, I mean, I'm definitely not opposed to Hatton. I'd probably choose him first.
Gotcha. And then our guy, Matt Kuchar, he of the light tipping, he's 7,700. And, you know, I mean, he's had a great start to the season. So, you know, that's a big reason why he's going to stat out well. But he's been great in Mexico as well. He's been winning in Mexico. So there's maybe something to that. You've got interest in Kuchar?
Yeah, at that price, I definitely do. And it's pretty crazy that I personally think it's crazy that it's not like he's missed cuts. A win, a T4, T22, T28. I know it's going progressively backward and he's gotten a lot of negative publicity about this and that lately. But the fact his price has stayed the exact same and he's also been out here twice and won in Mexico this season. 7,700 looks pretty good to me.
Yeah. Maybe he just found like a Mexican lookalike who's a solid golfer, knows the courses, and is, you know, like Senor Spielbergo. It's Senor Cucharo.
Yeah. And then we got a Kiradek Alpha Barn Rat later on, who was our John Daly, right?
Yeah. Kenny Powers.
Kenny Powers, yeah.
Asian Kenny Powers.
That's who I was thinking of.
All right, then let's wrap up the sevens. Anybody we're missing here?
Two guys we skipped over up top, Charles Howell and Gary Woodland. Both worth a look. Charles Howell doesn't like seem like the play here, but for the ownership you get him at and his just like ability to finish in the top 10, it's astounding that he just seems to do it all the time, at least like top 20. And he's just like, he's hitting fairways and he's hitting greens and he can make birdies. I mean, it's crazy to me. I honestly, like, I love Charles Howell like every single week now. So I'm definitely going to be looking at him. And then Gary Woodland is just, I mean, he's all over the map, but it's been on the good side lately and he's seen the course twice. So something to think about.
Yeah. All right, then let's hit any punts that you might have down in the sub-7Ks, because there's some names down there we're not used to seeing.
Definitely. Anyone you're looking at?
You know, there's Answer down there with the, you know, he's of Mexican descent, so there's that narrative. I think he could be okay here. Kyle Stanley has got some pretty interesting numbers both at the course and at correlated courses. So he's somebody at 6,400. Like, I know a lot of people have chased him lately and maybe been disappointed, but you know, it only takes one tournament for people to break out. Maybe this is it.
Yeah. I mean, like I've said before, it's these WGC events are a good opportunity to take some of these shots here. Like maybe even leave some salary on the table.
Yeah, that's
take
a big
someone
thing
down
this
low,
week.
And you don't need to max it out. You don't have to.
Yeah, yeah. You want to have a different lineup in a mass field entry.
Definitely, yeah. Like, and I talk about it every WGC, but my biggest DFS win ever was in a WGC event, and I had my man Thorbjørn Olsen in there, and he was like, he was like 6,400 or something, and he, out of nowhere, I don't even think I really knew who he was at the time, and I mean, it was a top 10, or it was like a top 15, I think, and that was all it took. It paired with like pretty much five chalky-ish players, so I think it's good to take some punts down here. Someone who might not really be considered a punt, Keegan is 7,000. Below that, you got some European options here that have not necessarily seen WGC events before, but Eddie Pepperell, very good. Aaron Rye is good sometimes, very bad sometimes. And then I have Answer highlighted here. He was here last year, didn't finish very well, but he's been playing very well, and he is from Mexico and knows the course, knows this type of golf, and I don't hate that at all. Those are kind of some of my highlights down there right now.
Yep. And then there's also you mentioned the Europeans. You've got Emiliano Grillo. Yeah, I think he's probably too chalky to put into a GPP in this range. I mean,
yeah, yep.
I'd rather get up to a guy like Ches Reavy for a similar skill set.
Yeah, you could throw him in there and then like put a, you know, do your Rory and Spieth.
Yep.
Go chalky on the low and not chalky on the high.
That's interesting. You got to
get a little creative here. Two names real quick, both 68. Brendan Grace, Russell Knox.
Uh-huh.
Both, Russell Knox probably more so, consistently very good lately. And then Brendan Grace, we see him pop, and you never really know, but he's another guy that's been here the past 2 years.
Yeah, like I don't think either guy will win this tournament, obviously, but they could definitely be in the top half and carry their weight, so...
I agree. Filler.
Yep. All right, let's hit a little one and done talk because it's a WGC event. A lot of money on the table here, and you're going to get all 4 days. Yeah, Tyrrell Hatton is at the top of the list, I think, with how consistent he's been, and especially if you're in a one and done, with quarter segments and you're not having the best first quarter, I think he's a good name to consider. Yeah. Who do you got for a one and done pick?
I don't hate that. I actually did not really think of that in terms of a one and done, but one of the first guys that comes to mind is Tony Finau, but he is just like another one of these guys that I just want to keep saving and saving and saving, which is, I don't know if that's smart or not, but you know, it could be. If you haven't used John Rahm yet, that's a good top of the line option. And then if you're talking lower, it gets pretty interesting down there, but it's starting to get to the point where you need to start thinking about who you've used, who you haven't used.
Yeah.
Bubba, we just passed one of his favorite tournaments where probably 75% of the one and done world used him.
Be
an interesting one here.
That would be such a nice thing to, you know, to rub in everyone's face. Like, hey, you used Bubba last week. I got him this week when he won.
Exactly. Yeah. Everyone thought he was going to win last week, but no, we know the even years, and this is an odd year. So
it held true.
He'll win there next year.
Actually, I guess, yeah, 15 is not awful, but it wasn't a win. But all right, so that wraps it up. You can follow Alex on Twitter @DonaldRemington. You can get me @Roto_Juan. You can subscribe to Lineup Logic at patreon.com/lineuplogic. $10 a month gets you the tools, the cheat sheet for not only PGA, but NBA, MLB, you know, pretty much every DFS sport you would be interested in. If you want to throw us a like or a review, 5 stars, etc., always appreciate that for podcasting. It goes a long way. But otherwise, have a good weekend, guys, and may the sports be with you.